Well, welcome to See Here Love and to our bonus Bible study show. And we hope you've been tracking with us each week as we learned about and listened to the stories of 10 incredible unknown women of the Bible who inspired and encouraged us by their courage, their leadership, their resilience, their tenacity, and obedience to God, who changed history forever. And if you missed any of these conversations, go to seeherelove.com. And on our YouTube channel, you can watch the shows and you can participate in our weekly studies, as well as you can download our free Bible study guide at seeherelove.com/unknownwomenstudy. We'd love for you to share this study with your friends, neighbors, small group, and church. But today, our amazing Bible teachers and panelists get a chance to share about themselves, the moments they have felt unknown, unseen, unheard, and even unloved, and how a relationship with Jesus changed everything in their lives. And that, my friends, is coming up right now.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Here Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks, Season 9, Episode Number 20.
Welcome back! Yay! Yay! We're back again. We can't get enough of each other. I love being with you all. It is so much fun. We just finished a four-part Bible series on unknown women of the Bible. We've exhaled, and here we are. And let's do a quick introduction here. We've got Helen Burns, pastor, relationship expert, podcaster, and speaker. Welcome, welcome back. Oh, yeah, we're just gonna clap. We've been so good. Ann Voskamp, author of 4 New York Times bestsellers, mama to 7, wife of 1 fine farmer, and blogger. You know, my husband's like, how come you're not introducing me as 1 fine husband? So I'm going to do that from now on.
There you go.
Welcome. Trifina Perumala-Gagnon, podcaster, speaker, mom to 2. Yes. Delicious and what was that your
delicate.
Name? And delicate. Delicious and delicate, lover of chocolate. Love that. Welcome, welcome. And Anne Miranda, pastor, leader of leaders, speaker, and champion of women and friends. I think after 4 weeks, we've really developed a friendship and connection, which I love. Well, this is bonus for the Bible study series, but also it's like a standalone show because I think the topic is really important, and I'm really interested to hear some of your thoughts about this. So we talked about unknown women of the Bible, 10 of them. How do you feel? There was a lot of information. I know, Anne, you mentioned it in the last series a bit about kind of like, you know, a recap. But personally, how do you feel coming out of a series like that?
Yeah, I feel just really honored to be adopted into God's family.
Yes.
I feel like their stories are so impactful, standalone, and then all together so impactful. And then to think in like the New Testament, we get to be called children of God through Jesus Christ. Yes. You know, we get to be part of a royal priesthood, a heavenly inheritance. Yes. Like them sitting in that just really honored to be called a child of God, a daughter of the King.
Yeah.
Like owning that part of my identity.
It was so affirming and empowering. You know, we talk about like empowered women, empower women. I feel like hearing stories of these empowered women who lived out their full destiny, their full authority, it fires me up to be like, okay, there are space, like there are all these spaces that I can step into, and there's courage and audacity to do that. I also, you know, in like Hebrew culture, scriptures is a gem. So you can turn it and look at the beauty from lots of different angles, and you're meant to turn it. And so being able to do that in a group with all of you, and like we all come with our different life perspectives, and we all showed up in that way. So you're going to see different things in scripture. And so I just really enjoyed hearing the different things that you all pulled out.
So rich. Every single story matters. And there's no story like what we see in the Word of God. It's stunning. But so often, like if you're reading a great book, if you only pulled out a few pages, you really don't know the whole story. You have to know the beginning and you have to know the completion. So and that's true of our stories, how we have been written into God's story as well, every single one of us. But looking at the lives of these incredible women, which now I'm quite honestly, after hearing all of our different parts of it, I want to go and research so much more. I want to learn so much more because there were so many pieces that you brought to the table that I did not know. And so I'm hungry to learn more. And the value of every name, and maybe, and it makes me tender, the value of your name, that God has written your name into his story, and to really own it and to own your story and to allow God to, you know, that you would be a pen in the hand of God. Let him write a story of your life in his beautiful story.
So beautiful, Helen. I think I'm just moved by, we come from a long line of on fire for God women. We come from a long line of women who are fearless in their obedience of God, no matter what anyone else thinks of them. And to think that all of those women's names are not just written in scripture. When you live a life that's obedient to God, that stands with God, your name actually is inscribed in the palm of his hands. And he goes to the cross, and he takes all of our brokenness, gives us all of his righteousness, and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternity. I just, I want to cherish the inheritance, not just of Christ alone, but each of those women who took steps of obedience and faithfulness, I want to carry in that tradition of faithfulness to our Abba Father.
I think for me, well, I know for me, you know, when I came up with this idea, I think I was talking to Anne about unknown women, because I was kind of like perusing through, and it started off with Shira, and I was like stunned by this woman that built three cities that I had never heard of, and then going forward, it was like, oh, I thought Solomon did that. I didn't even know about her. And I think as I sat and listened to you, the honoring of these women, there was something really beautiful. Thousands of years later, to speak their name, to honor and tell their story, and to learn from, to sit together like this was just, you know, I wish I could do this every day. And then you realize that scripture should be read and learned this way. There is, yes, study and quiet study, but the power and the beauty of when we were, you know, together like this was just beautiful. And it was so honoring. And I sometimes think in 2,000 years, if we're all still around, will they honor our names? You know, will people speak of our names and in the courage and things that we did? I hope so. I hope that they see our faithfulness and that we trusted God with our lives, and we were courageous and did hard things, and were strong even in the midst of adversity. So it was beautiful. This was a gift to me for this. Really a gift.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description, or sign up through our website at SeeHearLove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Hear Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seehearlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seehearlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
Well, as we talk about unknown, you know, we've been talking about those unknown women, those women. I think the question for us is, have we ever felt unknown, unseen, unheard, unloved? And maybe we start with that, and then we talk about how then did we, or others, bring us back to being known, being seen, being heard, being loved. So it's a vulnerable time, but it's when have we as women felt unknown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll go, sure. Like, you're looking at me. Oh, it's so vulnerable. I think there's so many parts to that. There's so many ways in which I have felt unknown. I think part of it is, as I've gotten older, I have felt more secure in my own body. And I'm like, oh, I actually didn't know myself. I didn't understand how my brain worked, how my body worked, how like I respond to situations. There's a part where I felt unknown by my own self. Mm. I think there's a part in parenting where it's so isolating and lonely. And so I feel very unknown in what my day-to-day beauty and chaos looks like, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like in many ways, and I think we're all doing this in different ways, we're starting new things. Like we're in our moment in time, in a neurodivergent household, we're trying new things. Mm-hmm. And it just means though that that looks very different than what our entire community's life looks like. Mm-hmm. So that feels just, mm-hmm. I feel unknown. Mm-hmm. I think there are parts I'm realizing as I get older, even in my ethnicity and my racial identity, there are parts in which I feel unknown, parts that my parents couldn't understand because they were immigrants. I'm a first gen. There's a difference. Yeah. Parts that my husband, who's white, will not understand. Mm-hmm. And so just really coming to a space of, okay, like there are parts of myself that people around me just won't fully understand. You won't understand why I respond to something the way I do, or why I have, like, I feel the way I feel. And so, yeah, when you ask about ways I feel unknown, at first I was like, oh, I think, you know, I live my life pretty out loud. I feel very known. But then I'm like, oh, wait, actually, there's lots of ways in which for me it turns into, I make it up to be loneliness. Not make it up to be loneliness. It feels lonely.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As you share that, I just will, on the back of that, I think of the, it surprises me because most of my life I'm kind of out there, you know, fun in high school, you know, just have had a very public life in many ways. But August 2020 so was actually a season that I shocked myself about how I felt about myself. I didn't expect it. Several years earlier, we had transitioned our church. We had planted our church in 1986, a very long time ago. And then in 2018, we announced we were transitioning, and then the full transition took place in 2019. And it was beautiful, and it was what needed to happen. And now we're not leading the church, and our daughter, alongside her husband, she is the lead. That's another thing about, she's a strong woman, that girl. Mm-hmm. Surprised us at how she's leading is so beautiful. But then our life was full. We were traveling the world. We were going everywhere. Our schedule was just jam-packed. And then COVID hit. Mm. And I didn't know, you know, cancel. I had nowhere to go. And I felt like I had no responsibilities. Mm. And I had to kind of face myself. Mm. And I did have a moment. I was sitting out on my patio. We live by the ocean. And I was just weeping and weeping and weeping. And I kind of shocked myself. Mm. Because it was for the first time I ever felt, if I'm not this, then who am I? Oh. If I'm not Pastor Helen leading Relate Church, who am I? If I'm not traveling all over the world, leading conferences or speaking at conferences, who am I? And I had a come to Jesus moment, and it was so important. And I think many times women hit my season of life, and many probably watching today are in my season of children have moved out, in retirement, and what does that look like? And you have to kind of come back to discovering that you're not done yet. I didn't know I'd be sitting at this table today. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I'd be doing in the future. And so I just had to lay it into God's hand and think, you have numbered every one of my days. Mm-hmm. You have a purpose for my life. I may not know who I am right now. And it wasn't that others were treating me in that way, but I did not. I kind of forgot what I'm here for. I trusted God, but I don't know if I really believed in myself in that moment. And so that was a beautiful coming back to God. Every day that you have is numbered. Teach me to number my days that I'll live with a heart of wisdom. And I've watched God write a beautiful story, but it looked very different than I thought what it would look like.
Wow, so unknown for yourself. Yeah, this is an interesting, like a lot of it is identity. Ourselves and identity. Yeah. Unknown, unseen, unheard, unloved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, I'm gonna take it way back to 1998, where I was, I thought I had my life really all together. By the standards of everyone around me, it would have looked very successful.
a young woman getting a degree and going to university and working for the government, doing lots of crime prevention work with the Attorney General's office. Like, it looks like on paper, it looks like very impressive and very wonderful. However, inside, what was happening was all the things were being done really to mask hurt of abuse and hurt of pain. And in September of 1998, I get hounded by a friend to go to church, and I'm not interested. And my condition was, I'll go one time and never talk to me again. And so thinking that I have it all together, go, radical encounter with Jesus at Helen's church.
Oh,
I don't know Helen in 1998. I don't know Pastor John. Mm. I don't know any. I'm a young, like 19-year-old girl, young woman, who's sitting in the seats and just going like, what is this? Mm. And thinking that I was known. But it was a misconception. Mm. And then when the God of heaven put somebody sitting right behind me, who I knew when I was 16 years old, and she asked me the question at the end of the service, and it's a crazy radical come to Jesus moment, but she's like, Jesus is talking to you, isn't he? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I am known by God. like just like this overwhelming, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And then I did the good old fashioned altar call, went to the front, knelt down, cried my head off. Okay, I'll live my life to you. Mm-hmm. Like it was just that. Yeah. It doesn't get old every time I share that story. It's just like, it takes me back. Mm-hmm. That moment of like thinking your life's all together, but really he's going like, I know, I see you. I see you in all the pain. I see you in all the things, and you think you have it all, but you don't have anything without me. Yeah. And so I'm going to show up right now, and I'm going to detour your whole life.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. That feels like holy ground.
Yes. Ooh,
yes.
That carpet has tear stains on it.
I love that. This little piece, when she shared the story, and she said, and I just, the tears kept falling, and they were falling on John's black, shiny shoes, and I love that so much.
Yeah, they were.
And look what you've done with your life.
No, that's all God. That's all.
No, but what you have, like, because of that moment of encounter, how it has transformed the lives of so many others, I'm so grateful for your voice.
I'm grateful to be known. Yeah. This seen, heard, known, but you know, loved by God. It's a gift.
I will take mine back even further. I was a really, really nerdy kid who really loved books.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And I got bullied terribly at school. And really didn't trust a lot of mean girls and didn't really trust women in any capacity. And actually, the more I was bullied for being a nerd, it drove me deeper into the library stack to read even more books. In that reading, I started to open up a Bible.
Oh, wow.
And there was Jesus, who says he's not just like love, but he is love. Mm-hmm. Jesus, who leaves the 99, all the popular, to go after the one that's abandoned and rejected. So I came to Jesus through feeling totally rejected and unknown by so many, and found him to be a strong tower and a refuge and a safe place to run, no matter where I was. And he taught me that you can reach out and you can trust people when you're hidden in me, because you're not trying to earn anything from anybody else. Yeah. Your identity is in me and secure in me. So yes, Jesus is not just my savior. He's my person and he's my home. So I'm just so grateful.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. This
like I know.
I have to speak her name, and her name is Dori Solano Bucatin. And my birth mother, who was so unknown, a teenager pregnant, afraid for her life, and hides away. But before she leaves, she gives birth to me with the hope that I would be okay. And then goes to Southern Philippines as a farmer's wife and never known, living a hard life farming. her husband passes away, and she has 6 children. And one day a pastor shows up and says, there's a young woman who wants to meet you. And I know it's been 30 years, but we have found you. And I think in that, and I've talked about this, but it makes me cry every time. Because this unknown woman, Dori, who the community and everybody kind of pushed her off as pregnant teenager, farmer's wife, poor, impoverished, who for 30 years had a prayer for her baby girl. Then we see her and we call her by name, and I call her mom. And I say, God has not forgotten you. He answered your prayer that your baby would be okay and it would be alive and would have opportunity you couldn't give. And I'm telling you, this unknown woman speaking her name and knowing that God, for 30 years, she had no idea, would be able to hold me and hold my father. And we call out her name and we say that God has faithfully always loved her and her life from unknown to known.
Yeah.
I've never seen it any more beautifully than that. Yeah. And then to see a young woman who's no longer young, just her eyes light up and say, he was faithful. This God did answer my prayers.
Oh, so good.
That's known.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and for so many women, 30 years she felt unknown. Yeah. For 30 long years she wasn't known. And then the beauty of just naming her, her baby's okay, for us to help build her a home.
Yeah.
And be there for her to support her. And now her home was like the nicest home in the area, and she's been elevated.
Wow.
And her house is this beautiful yellow home that's like a light. And so I think that is the story of God in my own life, just to call out someone who was unknown to know and call her name. Mm-hmm. And even for me, you know, my name was Baby Adorasian, Baby, her first name. And to be then given a name, you know, Melinda Marie Estabrooks, it's this like unknown baby to then being named, which so connects with the adoption of God adopting me into the family.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And here I am. And I say this to Dori, I'm like, without you, I would not be here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Without the incredible sacrifice of what you've done, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So adoption, big.
Yes.
Big. So I didn't know that I was going to be, but here we are.
Yeah, we all need a call.
Wow, thank you. I know we... Oh, go on.
I was just gonna say, I love how God knows us so personally that it's like, for Dori, God knew what Dori needed. For Anne, God knew what you needed. Like, the little parts, like, God knows us so deeply that it speaks to our really unique nuances. And like, God knows when I just need a word of encouragement. And it can be the silliest thing, but it means so much to me. I have a girlfriend who the other day was like, she's a teacher. It's like, I just want to wear a heart on my shirt because I just feel loved today. And she couldn't find her t-shirt with a heart on it. And she got to school and her students gave her a heart sticker. They're like, oh, miss, I got you this. Like the littlest thing. But it's like, oh, God's in like redeeming the little details. Yes. And anyway, so
good.
Why Jesus? I mean, I know we talked about this within a bit of our story, but we have a few minutes. Because I think there are women who are, you know, watching and listening are like, why? I think we get it, but why have you chosen to follow Jesus? What's the difference? What difference does it make? I'm a good person. So why would I need to be in this relationship with him? What would you say? Why Jesus for you?
I felt like I was walking blindly, almost like walking dead, like walking blindly. Mm. And then, like, I can see you without my glasses. It's like you got a little bit of a haze around you, but I can see you.
But when I'm sure you can see the yellow sweater.
I can definitely see the yellow sweater.
Yeah.
Right? And I think I was walking in life like that. Like it's clear, but it's got a little bit of haze. But then when I put my glasses on, it's like a crisp, clear image.
Wow.
And I can differentiate between you and Helen and the even see things in the distance between darkness and light. And I couldn't do that before. I could be a really good person. I was a very good person doing a lot of great things. But it gives us like this connection to Savior of the world that I actually don't need to be saving the world, but I need a Savior. I need to be saved. I need saving. I need hope. I need his love and redemption. There's a piece of that that just completed who I am.
Mm-hmm. I think of two things. Why Jesus? Number one, no matter all the goodness I brought to the table still fell short of perfectness. Like I couldn't achieve that. And only Jesus is the only perfect one to hide my life in. And I think my first memory is my little sister was crushed and killed in front of my mama and I. And that kind of grief and pain and trauma. Like, where is God in the world when terrible, terrible things are happening? So you come back to the problem of suffering. Yeah. And we don't have answers to that, but where is the safest place in the world to entrust all the brokenness and all the grief and the sadness is only into the hands of the one who went to the cross, who has felt all of the pain of the whole world. So for me, why Jesus comes back to, I may not understand the reasons why we cry and there's pain and suffering, but it must be so important that Jesus himself is willing to enter into it and go to the cross and absorb that pain. I don't know where else to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd say exactly the same. I'm very blessed that from the first week of my life, I think I was in church. So I've been raised around and have known Jesus my whole life. And every time that I tried to veer off a little bit over the years where I feel like I can live without him, it's like I can't. I need him every minute of every day. Yes. And he is, like you said, my closest friend, my confidant. Yes. And I have many beautiful people in my world, but no one can love me. Yes. No one can see me and no one can know me the way Jesus does. And it's through that relationship I can build the others. I need him.
Good. Oh, so good. This just feels heavy and holy in a really beautiful way. I listened to you talk about how, well, yeah, you were a good person. Because, yeah, you're human, created in the image of God. You're going to go out and do good things regardless. Yes. And I think, so I was born and raised in the church. I went to, like, a Christian school, grew up in, like, a pastor's home. I'm now married to a pastor. Like, everything I said I would never do. But... it's been in those darkest moments. Don't get me wrong. Jesus, throughout it all, has been there. In those dark moments when I am on the floor and I feel God's presence in a tangible way and I'm like, Holy Spirit, like only you actually know how to speak to my heart. It was 6 years ago. I had hyperemesis. I was pregnant with our second. My husband burnt out. We were planting a church. I was 5 years old and he just... fetal position for months. And Holy Spirit showed up in a radical way and began to it was dreams of hope and life. And I'd wake up and be like, where is this coming from? It'd be like prophetic words. It'd be just like random downloads. And it wasn't like plans and purposes and callings. Those are all really important. It was like, hey, you are loved and you are enough. And I love you just as you are with you both not okay. And I was like, how do I do anything but that? Like, how do I not just want to lean into that?
Beautiful. I do want to end with prayer. And I know, Hal, I'm going to have you pray. And I'm so appreciative that you all chose Jesus. And I appreciate so much you sharing about the unknown, unseen, unheard, and then being known by him. But Helen, could you pray for us as daughters and sisters and wives, as aunties and mentors and entrepreneurs and trailblazers and leaders and pastors and bloggers and podcasters and authors and creators and artists, and to us women who struggle, who are lonely, women who are discouraged, who feel small, who feel forgotten, who feel lost, who feel overwhelmed, who feel unknown. Mm-hmm. Can you pray for us?
I would be honored to. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have been here with us and have led us and guided us. I sense your presence so deeply with all of us here. This has been a holy space and a table where we have eaten of the bread of life together, and we're so grateful for that. God, I thank you for every single person that has joined this table and has sat here with us, whether it's been in a Bible study setting, however they have encountered you and this Bible study together. God, would you meet with them? Would they, through just the power of your word, the power of your spirit, and the love that you have for each and every one of them, sense your abiding presence in their lives, that they would know that they are not forgotten, they are not unseen, but they have been seen by you and deeply, deeply loved by you, that you have purpose written upon their lives. God, where the enemy has told them lies and told them that they aren't enough and they have no purpose and they could never be rise up women like those that we have studied, would you just show them mm-hmm. that they are, that every single one of them has a part to play in your grand, beautiful story. And so, Father, I pray that just your kiss upon this time together and upon every person that would encounter this teaching, that it would be rich and deep and meaningful and life-changing for each and every one, I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Helen. It was beautiful. And thank you. It was a privilege and honor to be with you all as we spoke the names of unknown women, 10 of them. Yes. And thank you for today for sharing your story with us. Jesus. And Tryphena and Helen, thank you so much. And for you, our viewers and listeners, seeherlove.com for all the information about our Bible study and these amazing women. And always know that you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. And finally, the International Justice Mission Canada rallies Canadians to the fight to end slavery and violence in our lifetime and prove that justice for the poor is unstoppable. Go to ijm.ca. today. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.